Very excited. There is a warrior in the socialist communist state of California that is fighting for not just California and freedom, but for the whole country, because what happens in California, unfortunately, usually comes to the rest of us. I'm very excited to welcome back lawyer Nicole Pearson, who is a battle frontline warrior for what is right and justice and truth. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
Thank you for having me back. I love being with you guys.
We love you. And I have been, I think of you a lot because I can barely believe what comes out of California. And you've been fighting this for a long time. It looks like on January 1st, a lot of insane stuff passed. And I am just, I'm flabbergasted. It's bad in New York. It's second worst to you. But I really don't understand what is going on in New York and how it's allowed.
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, those were the bills that we talked about last time I was on the show that we were fighting. And fortunately, we were able to defeat many, many, many of those bills, which is just mind blowing. And I think I even mentioned on that show right now, like their hubris and their greed in trying to tackle and take on so much, thinking that we were all asleep and weary, and we were, but there were enough of us. Remember the Revolutionary War, where it was only 4% of the population that participated were able to win. So such is the case now, apparently, certainly in California, that even though there were, you know, there are always like thousands of bills that are presented every year, at least in California, to be potentially become law. And we identified about 30 that were really problematic. And, you know, I get messages all the time. What about this bill? What about this bill? What about this bill? Obviously, we had to focus. And there are other groups, but for example, focused on, you know, the abortion rights or transgender rights, LGBTQ2A, whatever. I'm not being sarcastic. I know they added a new letter. I'm being serious. I don't know what the current abbreviation is today, but you know, there are other groups that we had to divide and conquer. And we were still able to defeat almost a dozen bills, which is just really unheard of.
Wow. That is great news. People need to hear that. Yeah. We hear a lot of doom and gloom and like it's demoralizing. And we very rarely hear that we had wins and you had wins and I knew
and
you
they'll
would.
Never talk, but... Right. And they'll never talk about it. You know, it is hard when there were, you know, 1,000 bills and then, you know, we identified 30 and we only beat 12, but you know, in California, there's been a steady erosion, corrosion, whatever you want to call it, of parental rights and of individual rights and liberties and freedoms, certainly with the medical freedom movement and health freedom. And it's been going on for a very long time. But there were instances, you know, in 2015 and 2019, for example, where there's just one bad bill, 277 and 276. Those were specifically designed to remove the personal and religious beliefs exemptions for vaccines and then ultimately medical exemptions. And this is not a knock to my colleagues that I now work with, but I'm saying even in those instances where there was just one bad bill, it was we were unable to defeat those bills. So I would like to say, even though there are more of us now engaged and now more of us activated from all walks of life. And that's how it needs to be, because this is a human rights. And what we're talking about right now, this is not a science issue. This is not a medical issue. This is not a political issue. This is not an anti-vax hippie mom crazy conspiracy issue. This is a human rights issue. And if everyone understands that we're talking about basic human rights, what you put in your body, where you can travel, what you can buy, if you can work, put food on the table. When people understand that that's what we're talking about, everyone should be activated, and that's how we will win.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I do feel that I don't even think that there's a left or right. It's a uniparty across the board. They're controlled 100%. By billionaires and trillionaires that have vested interest in destroying this country from the inside out and destroying our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. It is a top down, total, way above anyone that's selected to run our that we think we're electing. But I will say to you, what you're talking about right now is very important to articulate, because the other side and their Saul Alinsky tactics and their Cass Sunstein mixing around of wording to manipulate people through emotions, they claim that they're the human rights champions, that forcing people to behave a certain way, to speak a certain way, to act a certain way, to accept something is human rights. This has been a scam and a con, at least from the beginning of the UN and their, all of their emotional manipulation to get people to not really see the big picture. But I think it's really important that people understand the human rights aspect is not their side. That is not what's going on.
And it's really interesting because I did this weekend, we had a fundraiser for one of our lawsuits in Orange County, the Palaki lawsuit, which is suing the Central Yorba Linda Unified School District. Not just for the masks. That was like the segue, but more about the constitutional violations. Like, these parents were very active. They were very vocal. They were at the boards. And because of that, this school district admittedly targeted their sons for exercising their constitutional rights, their First Amendment right to speak freely, to petition the boards, petition their government for the redress of grievances, all those things. And anyways, I was at this fundraiser hosted by the family and also Children's Health Defense California, and Sabine Hazan, Dr. Sabine Hazan. I don't know if you know,
I've seen her. Yeah,
she's amazing. And I was talking to someone about this, and it was a very interesting group. It was a very eclectic group. It was from an area that was very left-leaning, or a lot of the participants were left-leaning Democrats. And they were just like, I can't understand how they got 8 million people, or whatever the count is, vaccination count is, to go along with this story. And I had to pull out the Holocaust, analogy. I'm like, we had an entire country watching, waving as they put children and disabled people and elderly and the sick and gypsies and Jews on these trains and waved at them and cheered as they took them out. I mean, and that was the 30s, and then I went over what Hitler did, and he gave everybody free radios, and it was 24/7 propaganda, just like we have free cell phones now. Like, you walk in this country, you cross this border illegally or legally, they give you a free cell phone, free data, so that they can just pump propaganda with the CNN ticker at the bottom. I'm like, if they could do that in the 30s, imagine what they can do. I'm like, you are constantly bombarded.
Right.
Yeah, it's just propaganda and manipulation and control. But it is very, very scary to me. I'm so glad that you're bringing this up. This is actually exactly what I wanted to talk about. I didn't get in this fight because I'm a lawyer. I got in this fight because I'm like, this is wrong. I was like, this is not, I saw what they were doing to the children, and actually not children in masking in schools. This was in 2020 when they were forcing university students to get the vaccine in order to go to the university. And those were the, at that point, even that early in the pandemic, whatever, those were the strongest. They weren't dying. 18 to 25 year olds were not dying. Those are the ones that you usher out into society to get the natural immunity so it comes through. And they were mandating. And then at the same time, we started to hear a little bit about myocarditis.
Right.
And that's when I was like, this is not right. We are the adults. We don't do this to anybody. And that's when I stood up and really got vocal. And that's why I called it murder. Because I'm like, we now know, we have little inklings from other countries that there is myocarditis in this specific demographic. If you are forcing some children, this is murder, because you know. And that's when things really blew up, and people need to pay attention. Like, it is not, because now that the CDC is doing these investigations on the strokes, right? And the FDA advisors are saying, we didn't get all, and I'm getting messages, I'm sure you are too. It's actually making me really mad. Because now everything's changed. I'm like, nothing has changed.
Nothing.
Not one thing. You didn't need to know that report to know that you don't force experimental drugs on anyone in the world, ever, at any time. You know that. So it's bittersweet. It is very bittersweet. It's actually making me really angry. I'm a little bit in a rage place today, because I'm really, the weekend was a lot of information coming out, I feel.
But that's the thing, where it's like a fire hose of information right now. You know, a lot of people. And again, Nicole, I think another thing, because you're a lawyer that's really fighting out there and doing the investigation, doing the work on your own. I mean, we really need to help you, because I'm telling you, I lived in California for 16 years. What happens in California or what happens in New York City, we have all kinds of crazy stuff here, does permeate through the country, because the billionaire and trillionaire class are starting it where they are, and then impose it on all of us now through corporations and banks and scores and all this BS. And it's got nothing to do with our Constitution or Bill of Rights. You've been standing up the whole time for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's the law. We got to go back to that law. The real problem is that I don't think enough people see what the long-term damage has been. But now, because people are saying, well, you know, the CDC is looking into it, but our friends that are brainwashed, I'm in New York City, you're in California. It's hard because you have children. I have, you know, a lot of friends that live in my neighborhood. They don't know and they don't get it and they don't care. Yeah. And they don't realize that our country, this is a first step. Right. We don't fight back and we don't make it very clear that this is unconstitutional and it's unacceptable. And a lot of people belong in prison, which is another thing that we need to really talk about, which is the lack of accountability, the lack of investigation, the lack of that. So a lot of people right now are like, well, there's this new group in the House and they're going to investigate all this stuff. Listen, folks, it's a uniparty. And even if they investigate it, there is a senior executive service, there's a military, a medical, a pharmaceutical industrial complex. There's billionaires and trillionaires that put all those people in place on purpose.
Yes.
And it's only you and Renz and a couple other lawyers out there that are saying, you know what? I have children. I have a family. I got to pay my bills, but I also got to make sure this country is what I want my children to grow up in. And we really have to stop thinking DC is the answer. It's not. It's just not.
I mean, people, I'm sure they say that to you all the time as well, where they're like, well, you should go in politics. I was like,
oh, good to God forbid.
There's no way. First of all, I can't do it. There's no way I would even go, because they know that if I got in and I was the candidate, that I wouldn't spew the bile and the lies. Like, there's just no, I can't even get interviews on certain platforms
because
they don't
even
trust what I'm going to say, because I'm just going to tell the truth. So I'm not going to, I can't even make it. The most legitimate candidates will never be successful in politics. I think there are probably a few exceptions, but then we see them. They're silenced. And
they're fighting a tidal wave. They can't even keep up. And guess what's so sad, Nicole? It's our taxpayer dollars. You need to raise money through your fund and your charities and all that to even file a brief. They have our taxpayer dollars to the tune of, they have enough to send $100 billion to Ukraine. So they have enough to stop any lawsuit, to pick anyone. And
it's,
I got to
so
tell
bad.
You, what you're saying is so important. And I hope the American people get this, because a lot of people think, well, election integrity, or look, those crazy election deniers or whatever. No, the entire system is set up for the status quo, to keep the same people in power, because what you're saying, Nicole, is super important. If you wanted to run, or I wanted to run, or my mom wanted to run, or that nice teacher, or that man that has that great small business that employs half the neighborhood, or, you know, somebody retired from the police force or the military wants to run, they have a system where you're not even going to get in the primary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people have to understand, the primary is where they knock good people out, is before that primary, and it's a local situation. But like, you're right. Why go into a system where, you know, once you get in there, you will be blackmailed, or bribed, or you'll have a team of people that's from think tanks or lobbyists. Like, there's no, that's not the way forward. The only way forward is what you're doing, quite honestly.
So two things. Number one, when I was at the Capitol, and so we're litigating full time, and my partners, Jessica and Rita, definitely took over, like, very much so while I was, like, literally I'm working 80-100 hours a week litigating and then flying to Sacramento to meet with these representatives. And there are good people in the Capitol. There are. And they told me, they're like, if I come out vocally,
right,
and I oppose this bill on Monday, they will have, this is the California Capitol, hand to God. I will come back Monday, my office will be locked.
Right.
And my staff will be gone, and my funding and any other bills, forget any other bill that I'm on, it will be, that will be the end of me. So thankfully they would tell us that they were on our side, tell us, give us, you know, insight so we can navigate. But they couldn't say anything till the final end, very end, which made the work so much more heavy, because we couldn't. And there were only a few very, very brave ones. A lot of the new ones who had nothing to lose, right? Because they didn't have any bills on the floor. It was very, very difficult politically. But I will say one thing. I actually think the local ones, and this is why it's very important, the local elections, like your local councils and your local board of supervisors and your local school districts, are where you actually can win. Okay. Right. Because you can be super hyper focused. It doesn't take 20 million votes or 2 million votes to win. And they are the gatekeepers to your community. And what happens is if you can flip enough seats and even just get a majority, right? Or at least enough votes with one swing vote that you can, you know, prevent the deluge that's going to be coming from the Capitol. Yeah. But that's what we saw here, at least in Orange County, at least in Southern California, was we got conservative boards who took stands. And when you have a board that represents thousands, if not millions, of residents, right, writing letters to their representatives that work in the Capitol, it's not even that you have a good representative in the Capitol, but your representative, your senator, whoever, Bob, whatever, is going to say, I have this letter from this board. This board represents 1.2 million Southern California residents. They're going to do X, Y, Z if we do this. At least you give him an out, or him and her an out, not to vote in favor of a bill, or at least to abstain. We just need abstentions. So locally, I think hyper-focus, hyper-local action, but from the federal, like, forget that. But we just have to protect. And my goal the entire time, I'm not taking on the UN. I'm not taking on Klaus Schwab. I'm not taking on Fauci. I am that little, I've always been this. Everything that's happened to me in my life, where I quit jobs and got fired and, you know, mutually separated from big firms, very, you know, prominent firms, because it's my personality to fight the grain. And to get in there and to throw sand in the gears, because that's really what we need to be doing now, because it's so much.
Yeah.
And getting in and pulling out all the sticks at the bottom so that it collapses. That's my goal. That's what I physically have the ability to do, and many, many people as well.
Yeah, I mean, but you are doing it. And I do wonder why there aren't more lawyers doing it, even people that are retired from law, that practice law, that all that. First of all, the American Bar Association and the people that do the LSATs and all of that, and the incoming law school, all this stuff is all totally woke, totally DEI, totally taken over. And it's the billionaire, trillionaire class that funds them, that gives them their money, that calls the shots. Same thing with what you're dealing with. So it's really important that we have grassroots attorneys like you out there. Now, I want to ask you, for my audience and people out there that don't see, you know, inside baseball, so to speak, as you do. So when you something, and then we'll talk about wins, because I want people to know we are winning in a lot of fronts. But you've been fighting a lot of stuff. I mean, people have watched, you know, that bill that they passed, that doctors, and it's going to be for transgenderism too. Maybe and COVID.
It'll be for everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is so dangerous. It is so sick. My sister used to be a psychiatrist in California. She's now in Pennsylvania, but she could not believe that they would possibly pass this because of the implications for psychiatry alone, which are terrifying, you know, but on top of that, and that's just one specialty, look at all the other things. But on top of that, we had all these bills that Scott Wiener puts in, and I don't even understand how he has a seat, but I'm starting to learn more about how these people really get in there and who's funding them. But and then we have a lot of this stuff. They're trying to bring back the mask mandates in New York. They're also trying to bring them back in California when we know that they're dangerous. So I just want to explain to people. So somebody comes to you. So how does it work for you? So you guys are working like maniacs out there, and you have three kids. This is not like a, you know, like you have time on your hands, but you're filing lawsuits. So what happens? Somebody sees something like, what's one thing that right now you're litigating that's really heavy and has a lot of implications?
So when we did discuss this in our first interview, this is a war. Okay. So they're going after New York. There are a lot of reasons for going after New York and then California. And then Louisiana was another big one. And then Illinois. To me, if as soon as people realize this is not a war of bullets and ammunition and tanks, but I mean, obviously biochemical warfare, but more than that, in addition, spiritual warfare, but we are at war, whatever level you want to, psychological warfare, emotional warfare. If you realize that, then what they're going to do is go after the biggest, the strongest footholds in the country so that you can just really cannibalize the country from the outside in by cutting off transit. We see all the flights that are being, you know, grounded, all of the things that are happening. They, in California, we just passed a law a bill that just became law, became effective about, you know, the semi trucks and how they can't pass through California, which is in the part we have the diesel, we have all the things that we have, and they're cutting off our supply chain. Right. Okay, every single thing is cutting off our supply chain. So right. if you realize that that's what's happening. So again, I'm constantly, and Rita and Jessica and I are just, we're in a state of warfare, like mental warfare. Like, how are we going to win this war? So we need, again, to fracture, in my opinion, it's fracture that foundation. And so all of our lawsuits have been, are very strategic. So, you know, the school mandate ones, the vaccine mandates, the first one that we actually won was in January of 2021. And that was in Piedmont, where they were mandating the COVID-19 vaccine for 5-year-olds, where there was not even authorized.
Can't even imagine.
Sick. And then there was no remote learning alternative. Like, you either got the jab or your kid was out.
That is evil.
I mean, my hair, it makes me so upset. Great judge. And the way that we do it is we created, to be totally transparent with you, because it's a very unique process. It's a writ petition process. It's not a lawsuit. They're not normal civil litigation complaints.
Good.
We did writ petitions. And because the law is on your side, the law is on our side. It's so clear. We just need people to stand up for the truth. That's where another reason why I was like getting so, you know, blowing up on the internet. Cause all I was doing was reading the laws. I would literally sit here with my book and I would just read and I would show people and I'd be like, it's right here that I posted on the internet. And I'm like, I'm not the smartest attorney. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, my partners are much smarter than I am. I'm just reading the law. So we go to the court and we ask the court to read the law and ask the judge, is our interpretation of this law accurate? Does the black and white letter, the black letter law on the pages, does it actually mean what we think it means? That's not to say it's been easy by any stretch of the imagination. I have seen the most corrupt criminal machinations they lose our papers. They tell us the courtroom is closed. It's not closed. Like, we can't go have a hearing. Our judge in one of our cases, I'll tell you the cases, he retired. They struck out our old judge. We got assigned a new judge after so many days, like trying to go to trial. He came out and retired. Like, there's so much collusion and pressure.
Yeah, and what happened behind the scenes? It's so
100%.
Insane.
100%. So we have a unique process procedure that we came up with. And I'm telling you, we talked to like dozens of repetition attorneys or experts who had no idea what we were talking about. And we did it. Jessica and Rita, another woman, I can't name everybody, but we came up, happens to be a lot of women. We came up with this repetition procedure that gets us to trial, gets us very narrow issue, just about the law. It's not about the science, not about the vaccines, not about transmissibility and infection rates, anything. It's just about the law. And then it's supposed to get you into court quicker. Some cases, yes, in some cases not. And we've been strategic. So we went after the big mandates. We had to go against LAUSD. Everyone told us we're idiots for going against the second biggest school district in the entire country. It has like a 300 and I think it's almost $400 million litigation budget just for litigation.
Can you imagine?
Like you're saying. It matriculates 600,000 students, most of whom, going to your point earlier, live below the poverty line,
right,
and are minority and immigrant population. So we have this woke left saying that they care about human rights and they care about immigrants. You don't care at all, because no. Those are the communities that are being annihilated by these policies. But I digress. So we went after them and we got them. We never won. We went in like emergency. So we are so grateful for PERC and CHD California, who are our plaintiffs, who stepped in the shoes of associational, the representative plaintiffs for tens of thousands of families in the country. And they, were the petitioners in our writ petition. We are able to go in three times emergency, and each time they would have a surprise special meeting and agree to postpone enforcement, but they never won until the Capitol. They lost at the Capitol. So we did that. And then we have a really critical one right now, which is Peggy Hall. She's pretty famous here in California. She's a very vocal advocate. CHD California also partnered with us on that lawsuit to end the local emergencies. Because to me, I don't like to give favorites at all, but the most critical issue to me are the declarations of emergencies. Right. Because with this declaration, the government thinks or has brainwashed us into thinking that when there's a state of emergency, whether because it's a drought or right now we have floods or gas stoves or whatever it's going to be, climate change, whatever they're going to peg it to be. It happened to be COVID-19. Racism, if you don't know, Orange County.
I know, we have an emergency here in New York City of racism.
Okay, so there
in New York City of all places.
Whatever it is, you know, if you allow the government to believe that it doesn't have to follow the rules and policies and procedures that are in effect when there's a state of emergency, they will come up with perpetual emergencies to forever suspend those rules, policies, procedures, laws, and the Constitution. In California, I don't know in New York, but in California, we have the California Emergency Services Act. It was specifically drafted and designed to create expedited rules, policies, procedures, and laws in the state of emergency. Because when there is a real state of emergency, things have to go a little bit faster. But there are still rules. There are still laws. So that is a really important case, in my opinion, because if we can win in Orange County, and in fact, we did win. That was the case I was telling you. We won. The judge agreed with us. He set a hearing for the county to prove us wrong. And then the county vetoed, basically got that judge to recuse himself.
Paperwork.
They assigned us to a new judge. He said he couldn't hear the case. Then we assigned the new judge and he retired. So we've had three judges in that case. You know, it's a very corrupt system, but we've been very strategic. We want to save 600,000 kids. We want to end the local emergencies. If we can establish that blueprint for how to hold your local, like I was saying, your local board of supervisors accountable, then this will serve as a blueprint for any other county in the state to hold the supervisors accountable. So we have that one. We have some pretty egregious, you know, forced vaccination of children without their parents' consent. Again, two Hispanic families don't speak English. Children, one of them was five. You know, we're just fighting for them because their children are very, very sick right now. And we want to hold the counties and the school districts accountable. And then the mask mandate case that I told you about that is about the mask mandate and exposing the fraud and this behind the science, but also the money laundering. It's money laundering. It is 100% money laundering. They signed these bills for, they signed these contracts for CARES funding and the AA, you know, all the emergency relief funding. I think some school districts didn't realize the conditions that were attached, spent the money. And those conditions being you have to have mandatory testing, quarantining, masking, vaccination policies. And then now that the rulings are coming out and we're winning, some districts want to pull back, but they can't because they signed these agreements with these conditions and they already spent the money. So it's you know, some of these representatives that we think are bad don't even realize what they did. I mean, that's no excuse for me. It's called ignorance of the law is not a defense. That's your job. You should have read the 364-page application for the CARES funding. This is a lot of money. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars just in Orange County alone. But we want to expose this. We want to expose they weren't doing their job. They are committing crimes. They're money laundering. And so it's, again, they're all strategic to expose different parts of this big criminal machine enterprise.
Yeah. And I wonder a lot of times why there's not more lawyers involved. Maybe that's the solution, is to not look at it as a giant monstrosity that you can actually take little pieces apart. Because I think that the, and this has been going on since 9/11, if not before, the Emergency Powers Act, people need to know that suspends basically the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And a lot of what they're doing, I know I saw that, I can't even, listen, a lot of these people you just brought up that some of these officials don't know, or they didn't read the bill. There's no excuse for that. But at the same time, a lot of them are selected and funded and put in those positions because of that. So we have a lot of politicians, like I saw that London Breed called a state of emergency in San Francisco for climate. You know, Holcomb is doing the same thing here. She doesn't even belong in office. I mean, she's doing crazy stuff. She wants to add more taxes to cigarettes. They're already $5 on top of cigarette tax, which is if that's what you want to do, while at the same time making marijuana legal.
Right.
You know, and having no laws, and no tax. You know, but it's money laundering. That's what it is. It's money laundering. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, it's not lowering the smoking rate. It's certainly, and it's raising the rate of people smoking pot, especially children, but who cares, you know, because the money evens out and the lobbyists like her, and who cares about the people? And especially what you're talking about, a lot of these things, these same people pretend, oh, it's, you know, we're helping the minority or diversity, equity, inclusion. And the truth is, no, you're not. It's the opposite. What you are doing is you're ensuring that they're dependent on you with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's super important, but I think what you said is key to getting more lawyers involved, which is, cause Renz is the same way. I'm real good friends with him too. And I know he follows your work, and also Bobby and Cox is another person I'm friendly with. Yeah. And what I'm telling you is that you guys are looking at it strategically. Where can I win? You know, not I want to take on the whole thing.
Right.
Where can we make a small difference that can lead to a big difference? And I think that's how a lot of people are looking at everything. You know, we have so many friends, both of us, that actually do know what's going on, but yet sit on the sidelines and hope for, you know, someday and don't want to get involved. I think a lot of it is the media and the propaganda demoralizing people, dehumanizing people, making them feel like, well, you can't do anything anyway. You and I obviously are people that say, yes, we can, and we're going to, but more people have to do that. But I think we need to kind of explain it. I like how you're doing it, saying, you know, take it in small chunks. It's a lot easier to get involved if you don't want to change
the
picture.
Well, the other thing, you know, I mentioned the LAUSD lawsuit for the vaccine mandates, and that was 12 and up, and at least I'd been authorized by the FDA at that point. But I'm telling you that when I've had my social media platform for, you know, a while now, and when I announced I was filing this lawsuit, you know, I can't file. I'm not in LAUSD. I don't live in LA.
Right.
I don't even, at that point, I mean, my children were extremely young when I started working, 1.5 and 3.5. And fighting these things. And so I couldn't even like pretend to enroll them in LAUSD and get standing. I cannot tell you, when Rita and Jessica and I started, we were having Zooms with like hundreds of parents, and we would tell them what we were going to do, and we would tell them how we're going to do it. And we're like, the law is on your side. This is how we're going to do it. We can win. And then we're like, who's going to sign up? And I'm telling you, like hundreds, we spoke with thousands of parents and no one would put their name on the complaint. And then we're like, okay, well, we'll figure it out. You know, we could do a guardian ad litem. We can do an anonymous plaintiff. It'll take it longer, but if we have to do that, then we need the money. Okay, we're going against a 400, you know, Jessica and I had our own law firms where we make, you know, we charge three times as much as our rate. It's not about money, but I'm explaining to you, like, we have children and we have bills. So we're like, we have to make like break even maybe. Well, how about everyone donate $100? Everyone that's on the Zoom, if we got every single person that's at one point 700 people on the Zoom to donate $100, and people wouldn't even do that. It's like, you could have 1,000 lawyers, but if you won't have anyone like put their name on the complaint or anyone donate $100, and I know $100, then we're like $50, whatever it is, donate. It's like everybody is waiting for somebody else to stand up for them. Like, I honestly think at this point we should have a fund, and it should just be like the Human Rights Fund. Like, if you believe in freedom, if you want to be free person, donate $10 every single month and know that we are fighting. Just know that we're fighting.
Well, we got to figure that out. And you have a transparency mechanism, because there's a lot of frauds out there and a lot of people saying that it's human rights, like Human Rights Campaign. It's the opposite. It's control.
Right.
But we'll talk about that, because we got to do that. The problem is that I'm really upset to hear that. And listen, I get thousands of emails and what can I do? What can I do? But the scary part about what you just said is none of those parents wanted to put their name on there because they were scared they'd be retaliated against in the media. Right. They were scared of the media. They were scared of being fired from their jobs, of being ostracized, of being pushed aside, but they showed up at the Zoom. So that tells you that they care enough to make time and do all that.
Right.
It's really scary. This is a problem with our propaganda media, our weaponized intelligence system, our propagandized messaging coming from the corporations. And honestly, again, employers shouldn't be able to fire people or do any of that. But we are in a state of mass hysteria. You talked about the war. I talk about the war. It's a psychological war. It's an information war. It's a propaganda war. It's a mind control behavior modification war. And what's so scary is all those people took the first step, and it does relate to Holocaust and what was going on in the 30s. Right. Not in the next phase, but the early phase. Is that these people know, because I say a quote on my show a lot by Hannah Arendt, who's a real influence of mine. And she said, it wasn't the convinced Nazi or the committed communist that was the problem in Germany. It was the apathetic German.
100%.
And that we aren't getting that is the problem here. The apathetic American that's saying, I'll wait. Well, till when?
Right.
When we're fully communist?
But that's, I don't know, Mel. Like, I live in California where they are taking children to drag shows. And I'm not talking drag. I've been to drag shows when I was in college and I lived in New York.
Oh, me too.
Like, if you go, you know.
Like the duplex. One, but it was for us, adults.
And they're beautiful.
And it's funny and fun.
So talented and like.
That's not what's happening.
I have no problem with that. But we have literally dildos in 3-year-olds' faces with their like breasts and whatever's out. And I'm like. I, at this point, and I'm being very graphic because that's what it is. And we have books in our libraries where like, I'm not actually going to say, because it's so uncomfortable what they're talking about in these books that are kindergartners, because they can't really read, but like our second graders can read about hand jobs and the orgasm and the cum and the semen. And these, like, I shudder to think, Mel, at this point, because every couple of weeks I'm like, this is it. Like, this is the thing that's gonna be enough. And it's not. I'm like, I know what it's gonna be. I actually do know what it's gonna be. And that will be too late. Like, we will be so far gone. If we're already so far gone as a society that we let these things happen to children and the elderly and the most vulnerable in our communities. And we think that we are doing a good thing. That we are doing a service, like you're saying, that we deserve an award, a star, like not a star.
Don't even get me. I know what you mean. Like, but don't even get me started, because I'm doing a show later on the communist takeover. It happened a long time ago, friends, a long time ago.
No,
and people have to start waking up to the truth about America, because America was usurped and taken over well before now. And it's been a slow burn, and it's the same billionaire and trillionaires that are manipulating everything. And they happen to really be in New York and California. And it's not, it starts there. And then they send it through the nation, through their NGOs and their think tanks and the politicians they bought and paid for. And it's only we, the people, that can change anything. And Nicole, the truth of the matter is, what you're saying is the facts. Once a country goes to totalitarianism and communism, which is the goal here, from the controlled demolition from the inside out, you're not going to get your country back. At least you're going to get it back in shambles, like every other country.
Mel, where do we go? We still have people coming here, sending their children, coming on rafts. They're not even rafts. They're pieces of wood that are tied, literally risking their lives to come to this country. If this country falls, there is not one, and I'm Latin, my family, I come from immigrants. I could go to many different countries. I speak multiple languages. I could hide. I could do whatever. If the United States goes, there is no beacon of hope for the rest of the world.
That's the problem. That's why the front lines are on America, and we're not fighting. I keep telling people, this is a global war between good and evil and freedom and liberty and humanity and totalitarian, you know, one world, public-private partnership, bankers, billionaires, trillionaires that want full top-down control. This is not a conspiracy theory. And anyone that thinks that, well, people that watch my show probably don't. But what I do have to say is, we need fighters like you, and we need to support fighters like you, because you know what? Every win that you have is a win for this entire country. And people have to understand the ripple effect.
And
California is the front lines. I am telling you, California and New York, and luckily I know lawyers in both that are David and Goliath. You guys are fighting and you're winning, and we got to keep that message out. So can you tell my audience how they can support you? Please support Nicole and her. It's just her and a few other great moms that happen to be awesome lawyers out there. You know, doing this full time. They are fighting. Like she said, just the school district alone. But if you're fighting this government, You got billions of dollars if they need it. You got these sharks coming in from the law firms like, you know, Elias and them that are shutting these people down. This is not okay. You want to know what you can do? You can support good lawyers like Nicole. So please tell them where they can find you and how they can help you.
So they can go to our website, which is factslawtruthjustice.com. And there we have resources. Obviously, you can contribute. You can sign up to be a volunteer. If you're a lawyer, a law clerk, paralegal, you can submit an application.
Great.
But honestly, everyone, because I know that you have an international community that watches this.
Yeah.
Get engaged in your local politics. Like, I don't even want, more than anything, I need you to be engaged locally, knowing what's going on in your cities and your counties, and start meeting your representatives, start building a relationship with them and having meetings with them and asking them, what about this bill? Where's this money coming from? Where is it going? It's guerrilla warfare. Like, it's that's what we do. That's what we do. We do guerrilla warfare. Again, we're not taking on the UN or the WHO or, you know, the World Economic Forum. We are doing grassroots guerrilla warfare to pull out all of the, you know, pull out all the foundation. Right. That's how we will win and certainly at least slow it down. So more than anything, get involved, figure out and start talking to people and make your own little army, your little militia, to at least defend your rights in your communities. Because if there are enough pockets of patriots, or whatever you want to call them, freedom fighters, whatever it is, human rights activists, true human rights activists, they can't roll out this plan, you know, universally.
No, and I also want to say, go to Nicole's website if you are not just if you're a lawyer, but if you have real issues, and look at how you can fight. Like she said, they've come up with a strategy where they go after what they know they can win, what'll be the quickest. It's really important. And also look into the emergency powers in your local community and what's going on. And Nicole, I agree with you 100%. I've been saying to people, you know what? Not only should you know what everyone in your local community that is an elected official or an official in any capacity is doing, because guess what? They work for you. You pay their salary. Yes. They're your employee. We are the government. They are elected to work for us. And I say, and the most important thing is they know your name.
Yes.
Not that you know theirs. So,
and go, just one thing. But go respectfully. Go professionally.
Of course.
You don't have to be a lawyer, but don't go in your sweats. Don't go raging. Introduce yourself. Say, I am a concerned constituent. Go with your closest 30 new allies. Say, we want to get involved. We want to know how we can help you, how we can keep you in office. The way we're going to keep you in office is if you do what we say. But we want to be engaged, because it's so easy for them to write. We actually had a conservative board member finally admit. She's like, the more you guys yell, or to my clients, the more that you guys yell, the more I don't even want to help you. We're like, they voted you in.
Right.
So,
You're so smart. That's so true.
You have to. And this, we live in a constitutional republic.
Right.
This is your job.
Right.
They have outsourced, just like everything else, your job, your rights and powers and your authorities based on the law and the constitution. This is not something like, we're not some extreme conspiracy theorists. We're Americans. We're American citizens. And we're finally stepping back into the arena, taking our seats back at the table where we belong, where we have the right to be, and where we now need to be actively engaged, because things have gone really awry over the last, you know, like you said, 50 years where we haven't been paying attention.
Certainly, yeah, totally true. Three. And that's a great point. Yeah, stay peaceful and positive, but you know what? Act like a professional. You're your employer. Treat it, act like it, you know?
That's it.
Thank you so much, Nicole. We'll check in again soon. We put all of her links below. Please go to her website and check out what they're doing. Support them if you can. And also get some action going in your community, similar to what they're doing. And the ripple effect will save this nation. Thank you so much.
It will. Thank you so much, Mel.
Bye. See you soon.
Bye.
Hello, Patriot Pals. It's 2023 and I just got my Christmas shipment of my new MyPillow and my new MyPillow robe, because I can't get enough of all of the MyPillow stuff. I am such a huge fan of every product. It is the best of the best. And it's not just because I love Mike Lindell and he's done so much for me and for America and for the Patriot community, but it is because these are the best products out there. I wore my robe so much last year that I got a new one. Rob's worn his slippers so much. And then we got slippers for everyone in the family, and they're obsessed. People love this gift more than anything else, and I'm so grateful. The towels are the best. I have to tell you something about these towels because I use them and I've gotten rid of every other towel. Mike Lindell has done so much research on towels. I talked to him in person recently, and the truth is that there's a lot of coatings on towels, especially coming from foreign countries. He made sure that these are the most absorbent towels. Literally, you do not want to, after you get in your towels after the shower, you feel like, I don't want to really get dressed. These feel too good. I got to be honest, I'm so excited that Mike Lindell is a supporter of me and of the show and of you. We're also into my coffee. I got a challenge to try it just for a month, and now I can't even drink anymore at Dunkin' Donuts, where I used to go all the time. So I've switched to MyPillow and my coffee forever. You can also go to my store, and there's so many products there that are amazing. You'll be supporting Patriots. You'll be supporting the great Mike Lindell and everything he's doing for God and country. And nobody is fighting the battle harder than him to make sure that we have our sovereignty, our liberty, our freedom, and our future intact. Get over to MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Use the code MelK. Help the show, help Mike Lindell, and help save America. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Andrew Sorcini at Beverly Hills Precious Metals. I'm here at the MelK Show. Last year, we helped so many patriots out there protect themselves against inflation with gold and silver. In 2023, we can show you how to preserve what you have, avoid further loss, and position you for greater things for your investments. So the best way for us to help you is for you to go to melkgold.com, fill out the online form, and put in as much information about yourself as you possibly can. The more information, the more we can help you. So do it right away. The time is crucial as we head into central bank digital currencies. We can show you how to protect your 401k or your IRA, and the costs are minimal.